Act 1, scene 2, the second resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ to the Mary and the other women. They went to the tomb to properly anoint the Lord with spices. And they didn't know that he had risen. So it said in, I guess we just might as well go again. Matthew 28:5 said in the angel, and that word "and" should be "but" because this is not a continuation, a chronological order here. It says, "But the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he has said he would do." And what he said is that he would die, he would, and that he would be raised in 3 days. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. The angel told them, fear not. Now, I think many times when angels have appeared to people, one of their first things is, fear not. I don't know if it's just that shininess of an angel or whatever, but it kind of gets startles us a little bit. But there's nothing from that God ever introduces to us that should introduce fear. And that's a very important aspect of our lives is, in God's word, we should not have fear. In the new nature, there is no fear. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And that's the characteristics of who we are. We have power and love and a sound mind. And all we need to do is make it a part of our lives. And to get rid of fear, you get believing. You get the word of God. The word of God dispels fear. So the angel said, fear not. You know, this was intense. Here they were coming to give homage to their Lord, to prepare him properly with the spices. And he was gone. But the angel reminded them, what did he tell you? Yes, he would be raised the third day. And they, verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear, respect, and great joy. That sadness that they had was now turned to great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 9, and as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Greetings, ladies, he said. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. You know, the act 1, or scene 1, Mary could not touch him because he had not presented himself to God and our Father. But now they had that access to him. They could touch him. They held him by the feet and worshiped him. They gave great adoration to him. They now had access to him. Now we have access to God through Jesus Christ. These are not just words on the pages, but we have an intimate relationship with everything that happened here. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. You know, one thing that the angel said, he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Jesus Christ is now Lord. They now know him as Lord. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, well, we all know that, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he's Lord of our lives, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, with the heart, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart the man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, I guess we need to read the book. So it's important. You think you know these things. You know, we think we know the word too. And then things come up where fear can really cripple us, or sickness can cripple us. So what do? We go back and read the word and take it as it is the word of God. So they now knew Jesus as Lord. We have to know Jesus as Lord. As Vicki said, you know, we have to be a part of this. We are personally involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 20, chapter 2, verse 20. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord of our lives. How many things have we allowed to lord over us? We've allowed fear. We've allowed sin consciousness. We've allowed sickness. We've allowed doubt, worry. But where do those things get us? Nothing. You know, just defeat. But we want victory. We have victory in Christ Jesus. So we have to figure out how we can get our minds to the place where we receive it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am, or I was, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ lives in us. So he needs to be Lord of our lives. Look, he's prepared the path for us. He's done everything for us. Let's make him Lord of our lives. Give him that lordship. We don't have to have fear anymore. He conquered fear. He defeated the adversary. And that I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Do we want Christ to be dead in vain? No, his death is not in vain. It's in victory, because God raised him from the dead. The Magyar translation says, I am not denying the grace of God. We don't want to deny the grace of God. Praise the Lord, we have the grace of God. For by grace are you saved. We're made whole by the grace of God. For if justification is by way of the law, Christ died without cause. So let's not allow that in our thinking, that Christ died without a purpose, without a cause. He died so that we could be free. So we were crucified with him. Nevertheless, we live. Christ lives in us. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:11, verse 11, it says, But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You know, that's powerful. There's nothing that can defeat us. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He dwells in us. And he hath quickened our mortal bodies. Now, that all that suffering that he went through, that beating, that torment, mental torment, that agony that he went through, was so that we could claim, by Jesus Christ's stripes, I was healed. 2,000 years ago, we were healed. He took on every sin, every sickness, every disease, every mental thing that could ever the adversary can hit us with. And that's what he does. He hits us with these things so that we will doubt the word of God. Well, I want you to doubt the doubt. Doubt his doubts. Because all he can do is try to trick you, try to get you from remembering what the word said. Now, they had great sorrow. They could have thought, okay, let's count the days. He died Saturday night. That's not right. He died, and 3 days later, Saturday night, he was risen again. They should have all been waiting at the sepulcher for that stone to be moved and for him to come up. They forgot the word of God. How often do we forget the word of God? If you're not seeing the victory, seeing the power of Christ within you, you got to go back to the word of God. Because we are a different people. All mankind has changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are not ourselves. It's Christ that lives in each one of us. What power. And you know, in the first century church, they started believing that. It said that by the shadow of Peter, people were healed. They came in the streets and they were all healed. Jesus gave us the authority to do the works that he did. And greater works, because we can lead someone into new birth. Now we can say, Jesus is Lord. You know, Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. That saved is whole. Spirit, soul, and body. Jesus is Lord of our lives. And we need to continue to tell ourselves that. Don't allow whatever is holding you back to be Lord over your life. To put you in bondage. Because we are free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be what?
Free
indeed. Indeed. In no category of your life can you not be free if the Son has provided a way. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him, and now we are seated with him in the heavenlies. It's incredible. Philippians chapter 2, it's so incredible. We need to continue to read it so our minds can believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. What Jesus Christ has accomplished for us is just amazing. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You know, he is Lord of heaven and earth and things under the earth. He has dominion over that. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Every knee should bow to our personal Savior. He lives within each of us to strengthen us, to heal us, to deliver us, to give us peace. And we have the confidence that the words that we speak God's word, that they bring deliverance. Look at Philippians 4. I think this weekend we're going to just see the incredible life of Jesus Christ, what he made available, and what Christ Jesus has made available to us. In Philippians 4:7 it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do. Two little words, do. That's God's is encouragement to us. Do. Do the things. And the God of peace shall be with you. What did Jesus say? The things that I do, shall you do also, and greater things shall you do because I go unto my Father. He's equipped us to be able to do those things, but if we don't do them, the world's not going to see it. Look at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The the Majera translation says, I find strength for everything in Christ who strengthens me. I find strength in everything in Christ, for everything in Christ. There's nothing that we can't do in Christ. And that's who we are. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're not just this five senses person anymore. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from sin nature. Now we have to walk in it. We have to take action. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And he could have just stopped there, but by Christ Jesus. He has provided that by Christ Jesus. If you want to study in God's word, look at by Christ Jesus, in him, in Christ, what we have. And in the Amplified of that 4:19, it says, my God shall liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It is truly Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ has touched each one of us. And those women were able to touch him, to honor him. We have to make him Lord of our lives. We have to say those other things that have been Lord of our lives, that in the name of Jesus Christ, you have no longer the right, the dominion. Jesus Christ has given me dominion to say, you know, sin, sickness, fear, get out of here. No fear here. That should be our motto. You know, don't let that thief come in the door. Sickness is a thief that robs us of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Was his life done in vain? Did he die in vain? No, he didn't. When we claim what's ours, then we have the victory. And he gets the glory. He's a personal Savior. He's seated in the heavenlies making intercession for us. He has brought us from death into eternal life through his obedience to the Father's will. He has brought us from fear to joy and peace by his love, freely giving his life for each one of us. We were broken. He has made us whole, spirit, body, and soul. We have been restored to the wonderful fellowship with God Almighty, our Abba Father. It was his God, our God, his Father, our Father. Those were his words. Jesus Christ is our big brother, forever making intercession for us. You know, a big brother tries to be the example. Well, he was the example. And now we walk in his footsteps. And we have no fear. He's right there with us. You can imagine the world knowing that it's Christ in each one of us and what that power is that we have because of the resurrection. It's pretty amazing. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus the healer, the deliverer, dwells in each one of you. But when we touch each other, we deliver that healing power. We deliver that deliverance. We can cast out that fear. We encourage each other. We're part of a family that we need each other, and everyone is very important to it. That Christ, our Lord, lives in each one of us. As we do the will of God in Christ Jesus, we will be victorious and joyful always, abounding in the work of the Lord, for our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's enjoy the intimacy of the relationship that Jesus Christ has touched us with. And I'd like to end with, he touched me. And why don't we all stand up? We want to hold hands. And I want you all to enjoy the power of that Christ in each one of us. Because it's powerful. When you touch a brother or sister, you deliver that healing power of Jesus Christ within you. And this weekend, I don't want anybody to leave with any type of bondage or oppression that the adversary has put on our lives, because the resurrection is a reality. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.